Romans chapter 1, beginning at the first verse, this is God's inspired and inerrant and infallible word. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Do you ever wonder about God's will for your life? Well, in some ways, that's mysterious and hard to discern if we consider his will in one way, but another way from Scripture, it's very clear. 1 Thessalonians 5, be joyful always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, to give thanks in all circumstances. Particularly, I think of elders and pastors in the church. 1 Peter 5:3 says that they are to be examples to the flock. And so elders, pastors, should be thankful men. We should be exemplary in our gratitude because the whole people of God are to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Now, if we think particularly about elders and pastors, they should be thankful, obviously, for the same blessings that others enjoy. There are people in the world, but as we considered this morning, certainly thankful for the specific special blessings that believers receive in the gospel. Because every pastor, every shepherd is first a sheep. And we too are recipients of the same gospel that we preach. And so we're thankful for those gospel blessings that all the people of God share. But is there anything that pastors should be especially thankful for? I asked that question because I was struck by that as we started youth group and have been reading in the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans, now for some time. Because in this letter, in the very first chapter, the Apostle Paul is an example to those who are called to be examples for the whole flock. He's an example of an elder or a minister, a pastor, to other elders or ministers or pastors, and those men are to be examples for the whole flock. And so here we have Paul as an example to the examples. And we look particularly tonight at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. I want to consider that verse in a little bit of depth tonight, under the title, as you see in your bulletin, A Thankful Pastor, A Thankful Minister. Because there's Paul, and he's an example to us in this. This is what he's writing about. What does this verse teach us? And please excuse the self-centeredness of this. What does this teach me about gratitude? Well, first, notice in this verse the priority of thanksgiving. The priority of thanksgiving. What's the first word, boys and girls, in verse 8? What's the first word? I've given you a clue. Let me ask the question again. What's the first word? You still have your Bibles open? I hope you do. If you're big enough to read, you're big enough to have your Bible open. What's the first word of Romans 1, verse 8? Come on. Yes. First. See, it was easy. The first word is first. The first word isn't always first in every sentence, but the first word in this sentence is first. What we do first is so often very important. What we do first, we see that in several ways in the Bible. Jesus says in Matthew 7, 5, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." There's something very important, and we are called to do something first. Before we do anything else, with our first do this, Jesus says, and then do something else. Very important what we do first. Even people that are unbelievers, very important what they do first. There's that case of Jesus calling people to himself to follow. Matthew 8, 21, another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus has very strong words for him about the dead burying their own dead. "No, you come follow me." There were things that were first in that man's life. Important things, serious things, but they ought not to have the first place. What he wanted to do first was keeping him from following Christ. So you see how important what we do first can be so often. First things are very important. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:3, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." First things first. Now here is Paul writing to a congregation. And this congregation is very similar to every other congregation that's ever existed. It was filled with all sorts of people that had all kinds of issues and situations and questions and problems. That's what congregations are. That's what it is to live in this world. Now think of a congregation. What will he say first? What is the opening note of the symphony of truth that they are going to hear? Well, after his introduction of himself and his greetings, we begin in verse 8. First, I thank. First, I thank. It is the priority of gratitude and thankfulness. This needs to be first. Gratitude. Think of Romans 1:21 again. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as Lord nor gave thanks to him." It wasn't right there as a first thing of priority in people's lives. Thanksgiving should have a priority in all that we do as Christians. Paul says in Philippians 4, 6, "Don't be anxious about anything." There are so many things to be anxious about. So many things that can weigh down our hearts and our minds. What's the answer? "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Not just prayer, but every time when we're perplexed and when we're anxious, We are to pray to God, but in those prayers, it is always to be mingled with gratitude, thanksgiving. Probably because when you're anxious, thanksgiving isn't the first thing that's in your mind or in your heart. He says, pray with thanksgiving. It's a note. Don't let it be absent. Make it a priority in your whole life and in your prayers. Beloved Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, beware the loss of gratitude. Beware the loss of gratitude in your life as a priority. In every area of life, in every relationship, in every circumstance, first I thank, Paul says. Gratitude is like the security system on your house. If your security system fails, if it's not in proper working order, all sorts of unwanted intruders can more easily gain entrance. And here we're thinking about the things that can gain entrance into your heart when gratitude is absent or not in proper working order. What happens as gratitude begins to disappear and is no longer in that place of priority in our lives? What comes in? What kind of intruders come? Grumbling? Discontentment? Resentment, coveting, self-pity, and I'm sure the list goes on and on, because gratitude hasn't had priority. One person said so simply, but I think accurately, if you want to turn your life around, try thankfulness. Paul here speaking as a pastor. Pastors, elders, there's so many things that can be on our minds and in our lives, but we are to be examples to the flock. First, I give thanks. Well, secondly, notice the recipient of those thanks. To whom is the gratitude being given? To whom is the thanksgiving being directed? First, I thank my God. He thanks God. Thank God from whom all blessings flow. That's why he thanks God, because it is from God from whom all blessings flow. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Paul never engages in just some general sense of gratitude. Not some vague sense of being thankful. He actually, specifically, directly thanks God. We don't have time to go into it tonight, but my God is that personal relationship with the Father. He thanks God. You know, for pastors in the church, we have to be careful here, elders in the church. If there's any blessing in a congregation, if there's any growth, if there are any encouragements, to whom does the thanks go? Boys and girls, do you think ministers and pastors and elders should be patting themselves on the back and saying, look at your congregation. Wow, you've done a great job there. That's not where Paul starts. First, I thank my God. First, I thank my God. Why? Because he's done it. He's done it. And this is true for every Christian in every church. If there's any blessing, any growth, any good, what Paul says of himself is true for every Christian in every church. 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And the more that that reality and that truth gets a grip on our hearts and and calibrates our thinking to that degree, our gratitude will grow and increase. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's why Paul gives thanks to God. All thanks go to God. But notice he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. The word there is through, by means of Jesus Christ. This reminds us that Jesus is the mediator. Jesus is the mediator. Speaking to someone a couple weeks ago, heard of someone, didn't think he needed a mediator. Jesus is the mediator. Look at what Paul is saying here and what he understands. No aspect of me or my life can just be brought to God on my own. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, I can't even thank God without Jesus Christ mediating that for me. I can't even say thank you to God unless it comes to him through Jesus Christ. This is really so centrally important. Why? You know, we sometimes may say casually to people on the street, you know, you've got blessings, you should thank God for those blessings. Paul says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. He doesn't think he can just thank God without Christ. He doesn't think he can just come into the presence of God, even to come to say thank you to God. We don't remember, we don't realize, we don't think about who we are. My thanks, though in one sense is good, is not perfect. I can't just come on my own into God's presence. Even my thanksgiving could never be acceptable in the face of God's holiness. My righteousness is as filthy rags. It can only come in Christ. Even if it's to thank God, I can only come in Jesus Christ. But in Jesus Christ, I can come and say thank you. And imperfect as my gratitude is to God, it's pleasing to him, and it's acceptable. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Thanks goes to God, and it goes through Christ for the blessings that he gives, especially spiritual blessings. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you do not? Every good thing that we have comes from God, and we ought to thank him through Jesus Christ. But Paul focuses our attention, doesn't he, in what he is thankful for, and that's what we'll see thirdly, the reason for Paul's thanks. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. What is Paul particularly thankful for? He is thankful that in Rome there are believers. He's thankful that there are men and women and boys and girls who have faith. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith being reported all over the world. This is what Paul is thankful for. Believers. There are people believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 5:17, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who don't need repentance. But there's rejoicing in heaven when a sinner repents. And so when Paul sees repentance unto life and saving faith in Jesus Christ, when he hears about that, he thanks God for it. He thanks God because he knows that faith is a gift from God. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And if Paul hears about or sees faith anywhere, genuine saving faith, his eyes immediately are lifted to God. He says, thank you. If he sees faith in himself, what does he do first? He thanks God because he knows it's a gift. Faith is a gift. We can never boast in it. We can never be proud of it. We should be thankful for it first and foremost to God through Jesus Christ. You know, you think of Paul there saying, I thank my God. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ because of your faith. There are lots of other matters, no doubt, with people there, now, today, that need to be worked on and worked through. But if they're believers, the most important thing is true in their lives. And so Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ because of your faith. He doesn't go looking at those other things that no doubt are there, but if there's faith, he's thankful. The other things we can work on. The other things we'll keep striving toward. But if there's faith, he's thankful. He doesn't come and say, well, you know, I've heard there's this wrong and there's that wrong. You need to be working on this. No, first, I thank God through Jesus Christ because of your faith. And he says even more, he says, because your faith is being reported all over the world. Now, there's a whole sermon in those last seven words. Is being reported all over the world. Interestingly, Martin Lloyd-Jones said, as he commented on this verse, if Christians really lived as Christians, a lot of money could be saved on advertising. A lot of money could be saved on advertising. Your faith is being reported all over the world. If the church is really living out faith in Jesus Christ, the word will get out. The world will get out. Acts 17:6, what did they say of the apostles and those who were going out? These are people who have turned the world upside down. 1 Thessalonians 1:8, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we don't need to say anything about it. They were living as Christians, trusting in Jesus, and the word was getting out. And it came to Paul. He had never been to Rome. But he had heard the report of their faith. What a blessing it was for Paul. How thankful he was that there was a report of faith in Rome. That Christians could be found in the capital of that empire. And we should rejoice too. And we should be thankful when we hear about faith anywhere in God's world. And we should be thankful, particularly perhaps when we hear about faith in places of great influence, as Rome was. We should be thankful when we hear about faith in places of deep moral darkness and depravity, as Rome was. We should be thankful when we hear reports about faith from Parliament Hill. Thank God there are Christians there. We should be thankful when we hear about Christians at Carleton University or Ottawa U. Places of influence. Thank God there are Christians there. We should be thankful when we hear reports of a church in Cuba. Communist, God-hating. Their faith is reported. Thank God there are Christians there. You think of other places, Syria, Iraq, Iran, North Korea. Thank God there is faith there. I thank my God through Jesus Christ that your faith is being reported all over the world. But Paul's words here come to us, I think, in an even more personal way as we bring this passage closer to home. Let me ask you this question. Is it your faith that is reported about you. Paul says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ because your faith is being reported all around the world. Is your faith what is reported about you? You know, as a pastor, I deal with people. I talk to lots of people. Lots of people talk with me. I'm in a special place in many ways because of that. People, rightly or wrongly, talk about other people. Sometimes gossip, tale-bearing, I know it needs to stop. But other times, things are said out of love and concern. And it's not a bad thing. And I hear reports. I see things myself, but I also hear reports. What is the report on your life right now? What is the report? Paul says, I thank my God. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ because your faith is being reported all around the world. What is the report of your life? I wonder, would I as a pastor be thankful for it? Are your parents thankful to hear the report? Are your real, true friends thankful to hear the report? Are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have faith? If that's clear in your life, then even if there are reports about other things, there's reason to give thanks because we all sin. And you can hear about things about me. But if you're trusting in Christ, that's a reason to be thankful. As a pastor, you know, I'm not going to say, well, I heard this or that, and so I'm just not going to be thankful because of this. No, if there's faith. That's what the issue is. There's faith. We're thankful to God who's given it. And we do what we need to do to help each other, to encourage each other, to spur one another on, to love and good deeds, to come alongside one another, to counsel, to teach, to correct, to rebuke, whatever is necessary. But if there's faith, we can be thankful. But let me end on another note that's related here. Let me conclude by telling you what is so much and so often my experience as your pastor. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. I can enter into those words of Paul to such a large degree, and I'm thankful that I can. Our congregation has a good report. It does. And I thank God for that. It is a good report in presbytery, and I thank God. It has a good report in synod. I get to go there and talk to people, and I hear things, and I'm thankful to God so often for what I hear. You have a good report in Ireland. You have a good report in Scotland. The churches in Scotland. You may not know anyone from there, but you have a good report there. Did you know that? And I'm thankful to God for it. And even closer to home, you know, as I meet people, as I meet you in the congregation, but as I meet people in your communities, in Russell and other communities, you know what I hear so often? I hear about your faith. And I thank God through Jesus Christ for that. I hear about your faith being worked out in love, in deeds of kindness and mercy and care and compassion. And I thank God for that. I hear those things. And I understand what Paul is saying here. I thank my God because your faith is being reported all over the world. I thank God for you. Your faith And the way it's expressed and lived out is something to be so thankful for. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says something very striking, almost unbelievable, about the place of the people of God in the life of a gospel minister. Listen to what he says in 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 and 20. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Do you realize the kind of place that you have in a pastor's life as the people of God? I hope you hear that. But I have a sense there may be something else going on in your hearts and minds right now. You may be thinking, oh boy, I don't always feel like I'm someone's joy and crown. Why is he saying these things? It's a bit almost embarrassing. Do we really have that kind of testimony, effect in the world? Well, you know, one of the most encouraging things for me in life is when someone thanks me for something, and I know that what I've done is just so imperfect in so many ways. You're almost embarrassed by the thank you that you've been given. We don't need to be embarrassed. God is doing this. I thank my God. I'm not coming to you and falling down at your feet and saying, oh, what amazing people you are. You are, but I thank my God through Jesus Christ because your faith is being reported all over the world. Let that be a comfort. Let it be an encouragement. But together, congregation, pastor, elders, together let's give thanks to whom it belongs for any good that we've seen on this Thanksgiving Sabbath day. That we would thank our God through Jesus Christ.